Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. With you here on a Saturday, September 21st, just after 10 a.m. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Appreciate everybody making me part of your Saturday morning commute, whether you're going to take your kids to soccer practice or you're just going to get brunch with the boys or something like that. We appreciate you listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. And Washington, 1-1, traveling to face off against the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football. And Max, I need to get this off my chest, okay? I hate this game. I hate this game. I hate that we're playing on Monday night. And here's why. I don't know about you guys, Commanders fans, but it's like literally all week long, all I think about is getting to watch my favorite team play football on Sunday, right? This week, we got the win against the Giants, fired up for a victory Monday, still felt good on Tuesday. Wednesday, tried to turn the slate to week 3 in the National Football League, but I still couldn't get over the 7 field goals and the win against the Giants. But now, I got to wait. It's the weekend, but my team doesn't technically play this weekend. I got to sit through and watch the Cowboys play, and the Eagles play, and the Giants play. And then you know what, Max? I got to get up and I got to go to work on Monday. I got to work a full day. And then you wait, and you wait, and you wait for like an 8:30 kickoff on Monday night. And oh yeah, we're not even the featured game. There's 2 Monday Night Football games this week. Of course there is, because the Commanders are featured on primetime. And it's staggered, which is so stupid, right? It should be old school, one game at 8, one game at like 10:30. But instead, most of America will watch the early game on ESPN. And you know what? If I was a random fan, I'm going to keep watching that game, because that's the game I was already watching, even when our kickoff starts. Unless that game is a terrible game or a blowout. So I don't think Washington's going to get the national hype that we should get in a normal primetime game, and it kind of pisses me off. You see what I'm saying, Max? It's like all week long I've been waiting for this team to play on Sunday. Now I got to wait all day Sunday and all day Monday for this game.
Yeah, it definitely makes you a little bit antsy, like right. You're just kind of watching the games. But I will take it as an opportunity to do some research on the opposition.
Nice.
Throughout the season. But yeah, so it's, and having to sit through a full Monday at work is going to be hair pulling, is really how I'm going to put it.
Well, here's the one positive I'm going to point to, all right? Because believe me, it pisses me off. I like playing primetime games when we're the featured game. I just hate the Jaguars-Bills. I think it's going to be a good game. And like, if I'm a normal fan, if I watch the entire first quarter, why am I going to turn to the Commanders fan? A lot of people will have both TVs going, but there's going to be people that just say, you know what? I'll just check the box score on Commanders Bengals. But here's the one positive for Washington. Hang the banner 2 weeks into the season, NFC division champs, and you know NFC East, and you know what? I think we're still going to be in first place by the time Monday Night Football rolls around, because I have the Cleveland Browns defeating the New York Giants. I've got the Saints at home improving to 3-0 over Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, and I've got the Ravens getting revenge. I don't see Baltimore, who's an AFC contender, going 0-3. Dallas just got blown out. They're going to lose again to the Ravens here. And so I think that before Washington even plays their game, they're still going to be in first place in the NFC East. So that's one positive that I'll point to here. So we're all going to have to wait all day for Monday night. But a few things the Commanders need to improve on. We talked about it. Getting Terry more involved and getting more production from Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne. So let's hear from the coaching staff. Cliff Kingsbury was asked about getting Terry McLaurin more involved in the offense. And look, I've told you guys, I think that Jaden did a better job week 2 identifying Terry on third downs and trying to get him the ball. They obviously force-fed it to him early on with those screen passes. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on getting his wide receiver 1 more involved in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, defense coordinators are smart. They're going to try to take him away, there's no doubt. And, you know, that's my job to find ways to answer that. And so far, I haven't done a great job of it. And, you know, as a staff and me, we got to be better moving forward.
How does Washington do a better job of getting Terry McLaurin more involved moving forward? Well, I do think that Noah Brown's development with Jaden Daniels is a big part of that, right? Like, right now, opposing teams will look at Washington's strength on the outside and say, yeah, we're going to double team Terry McLaurin and beat us with Olamide Zaccheaus. Beat us with Christian McCaffrey's brother, Luke McCaffrey. Beat us with an old Zach Ertz. And we did with the Giants with Zach Ertz, but I think that's what teams are saying is we're going to take away Terry McLaurin, but if Noah Brown starts going off, then all of a sudden you've got to put some focus on him and Terry McLaurin will get more shots to get open. I also will say this, and I love Scary Terry. I had an argument with a caller last week who said he's not elite, and you know what? I'll give the caller the win because Terry did not look elite in week two against the Giants. And here's the thing. The tape doesn't lie. The tape doesn't lie. I went back and I watched the film, and there were a few plays where Terry was open and Jane Daniels didn't get him the ball. But quite often, Terry didn't win his matchup. And there was one play, and I think this is why we're seeing he's not involved here. This offense is growing, right? And so Jaden fakes a handoff and quickly turns to his right, and you could tell his first read was to dump it off to Luke McCaffrey there on the right side. I looked at the left side of the play. Terry McLaurin's walking. Terry McLaurin's walking his route. And so Terry obviously thought, well, Jaden's just going to hike it and throw it to Luke McCaffrey. That's the plan here. But he faked that throw, and when he looked back to left, Terry McLaurin's walking. He's not even running a route. And so, look, the film doesn't lie. Terry McLaurin's going to be talked about with that, right, with the coaching staff. They're going to talk to him about that. He's got to play better. It's as simple as that. I think he will, though, because he has proved throughout his entire time in the National Football League that even though he's gone up and down at times, he always responds. He's a guy that can win a jump ball opportunity. I think that they will do a better job of getting Terry McLaurin involved. But like I said, the film doesn't lie. Terry had a bad game, and I think he will respond to that by playing better on Monday Night Football. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Aaron in Suitland, you're on the Fan.
My main man, Adam. So you recall the phone call that we had, the conversation that we had. Listen, man, McLaurin is, like I said, he's not a number one. You know, you have so many teams that have number one receivers. And, you know, they're double and triple team or whatever the case may be. And they're open. You know, this guy, what did he run, a 4.3 40? You know, this guy's not slow, you know, but he's just, he's just not a number one. But, again, I just think that we should take some of the valuable talent that we have, right, because we can't win with it right now, and just probably try to, you know, trade it off and get some draft picks and try to build this team up, and hopefully we'll be a winner in the next three to five years.
So you don't think that Terry McLaurin will start playing better this season? Because, look, I admit you were right. Malik Nabers looked like a number one wide receiver.
Yes.
Mike Evans looked like a number one wide receiver,
yes.
Right? Terry McLaurin has not. But from what I've seen throughout his time in the NFL, I think he will start getting some big numbers throughout the rest of the season.
But, Adam, that's the problem. He's a number one wide receiver against our defense. He's not a number one wide receiver against the NFL's defense.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is.
He needs a better number two. And if Noah Brown can keep playing good, then that's going to help him out.
It's also one more statement. Then how can we afford, right, if you and I see this, if you and I know this, then the coaching staff know this, how can we afford to get rid of Jahan Dotson? I don't know what the situation is, but how can we afford at that position to get rid of anyone?
Well, because it simply comes down to them evaluating the talent, and if they did not draft you, if they did not sign you in free agency, they don't care about you. They owe you nothing. And so they simply thought that Jahan Dotson's talent level is about equal to Olamide Zaccheaus or Luke McCaffrey. And did you watch the Eagles? Because Jahan Dotson hasn't done blank this season.
Right.
So, okay. You know, I mean...
Right.
You know, you're right. The wide receiver room is weak. You're certainly right about that, Aaron. But I believe Terry McLaurin will start playing better. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, this is DC Sports Radio. 1067 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Taking your phone calls throughout the show today. Commanders fans, DC sports fans, we want to hear from you. Members of the AWOD Army, 1-800-636-1067. We've identified the problem offensively. We got to try to get Terry McLaurin more involved. Is he a number one wide receiver in the National Football League? Certainly had callers disagree about that. Defensively, we know we need more from Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And I've heard the fan bases cries for that all week long, and you're so right, right? Those guys are getting paid to play in an elite level, and they simply haven't. Let's take a listen to Dan Quinn and his take on why we haven't seen that kind of production from Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne and their performances so far.
Yeah, through the first two, I definitely know their presence inside. Some games you get more chances to rush and some games you don't. So what we want to always make sure is we're finding the matchups when we can and get into some dropback stuff. Sometimes when you have the production they've had, other people go into the game saying, okay, these two are not going to ruin the game as well. So a little bit of both, but yeah, we're definitely looking forward to them for this week and really making their impact. And they want that too. I want to be clear. I think what we're probably talking about first, John, is like first and second down, because the play pass, you can still do a double, but it's a run action. So I think when you're talking about trying to get four hands on them, that's, it didn't happen every snap, but that is something, you know, on the first and second downs, how do you beat it? Some blitzes where you're looping and getting outside. And so those are some of the ways that, that we do that. If we had actually, you know, gotten them down a few times in Tampa, I would say the conversation's probably a little bit different, but that's competing and that's ball. So what do we like to do? Get some on the move. That helps guys who have that kind of quickness for their size, and we'll continue to do that.
I don't know about you guys who heard Ron Rivera for 4 years, but that's a coach right there who I believe is identifying a problem, and you could tell the way he spoke that they've had long conversations about finding a solution with Joe Witt Jr., probably Ryan Kerrigan, the rest of the defensive coaching staff there. There's three guys that I need to step up now defensively for Washington. I'm actually going to take Daron Payne out of this equation here. We all know that Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen need to play better. But and Payne has at least flashed in my mind more than Jonathan Allen. So I'll say Jonathan Allen number one. Number two, what did Joe Witt Jr. say? Four guys are playing his style of defense. He talked about Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Benjamin St. Juice. Of course, we all know that turnover is exactly what they want. Punch the ball out, right? The peanut punch right there created a turnover, changed the momentum. That's what they want out of Benjamin St. Juice. And he's been better in his pass coverage, had a good pass deflection in the game against the Giants. Then he pointed to Quan Martin, right? Well, I'm going to point to the other safety. Jeremy Chinn needs to step up now defensively. They need him to be better tackling in the running game and to make more plays on the passing game. So Jonathan Allen, Jeremy Chinn, and the third guy is going to be Dorrance Armstrong, who had a bunch of sacks for the Cowboys last season, and I'm not sure he's even touched the quarterback this year. Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are seeing double teams. Cleveland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong seeing single coverage. Cleveland Farrell's got two sacks this season. Dorrance Armstrong needs to step up right now. Those are three guys that need to step up defensively. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to the phone lines. We've got Gary in Fredericksburg. Hello, Gary.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. My producer told me you need a pick me up here on a Saturday.
Wow. You know, I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be short as I can be. You guys are fooling yourself, trying to fool everybody on the radio. Listen, Daron Payne and Allen have been doing this double-team stuff since they've been in the league and college and everywhere. They've done it good before. There's no reason not for them to do it good now. Secondly is, Dan Quinn's a decent coach. Anybody who thinks that Daniels is going to be a franchise quarterback and make it 3 to 5 years in the NFL is fooling themselves. Fooling themselves. I'm old school. Been going since the late 60s. One of the biggest Redskin fans you ever see it, and I'll always call him that. This is a joke what we have going on. You got those middle linebackers that we brought in. Luva's the only good one that we got, I think. Bobby Wagner's pretty much washed up. But nobody's willing to admit that. It's just, this is unbelievable how we're last in almost everything on defense. Look at the stats.
The defense has not been good, man. I'll give you that. But I'm going to completely.
Neither has the offense.
No,
neither
I'm going to.
What are they throwing? Screens half, more than half the game.
All right,
anyway,
hold on. Let me push back for a second here on the offense. All right? Look, you've got a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels who is absolutely in line to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right? So I don't like him taking the hits either, and I'm certainly worried about injury. But you can't tell me that this guy's not –
Hey, how about teaching him how to slide the correct way?
Obviously.
Teach him how to slide the correct way.
Look around the league, though. Look around the league, though. Players aren't sliding like that anymore. They're taking a drop.
Have a great day. Love your show.
I appreciate you chiming in. I try to pump him up there, Max. This guy's too grumpy here on a Saturday morning. Look, I definitely think that the defense has not been good. But I don't know how you could come on here and complain about the offense after they just had 400 yards against the New York Giants. They just had 400 yards against the Giants. The offense has done so much better in two games than pretty much all of last season in terms of running the football. Isn't that – this guy's old school, been watching the games from the 60s. Don't you want them to run the damn ball? Oh, he wants them to throw through the middle of the field. Hasn't he been listening to the show? Passing yards are down throughout the National Football League. You got to run the football now, and Washington has been able to do that successfully. I don't know how you can say you've saw Jaden Daniels for two games this season. He's not a franchise quarterback. You didn't see that throw across the middle of the field to Zach Ertz. You didn't see the way he got the ball back with under 2 minutes left and led his team for a game-winning drive into the red zone and kicked the game-winning field goal. You haven't seen this guy? The Giants sent a pass rush on one of the first drives of the game and was unblocked. And he had two arms on Jaden Daniels, and he still got out of the sack. That was an unbelievable play there by a rookie quarterback. And you don't think he's a franchise player? You don't think he's going to last in the NFL 3 years? Look, I'm worried about him taking shots when he runs, but I don't think he's going to get injured from running around scrambling in the backfield there. How he's going to get hurt are some of these play calls from Cliff Kingsbury where they're designed runs up the middle and he has to run through, you know, 300-pound guys, or the goal line run that I hated week one when they were out of the game. But 2 weeks into the season here, I don't know how you could be unhappy with what you've seen from Jaden Daniels so far. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Max, let me hear JD7 here. I want to hear Jaden Daniels talking about his opinion on how to get Terry McLaurin, his wide receiver one, more involved in the offense.
Go out there and pick the spots. I mean, you know, obviously we got to get Terry the ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to spread the ball around. Defenses are going to key on Terry. Respectfully, respect to him because of what he did in his league. But at the end of the day, man, when it's time and we have a one-on-one matchup, you know, sometimes, I mean, Terry's out there, you know, go let him win. But other than that, you know, we're just going to keep playing our game. We're going to keep moving forward and just go from there.
This is an offense that just had 400 yards against, I get it, maybe not a great defense in the New York Giants. But Jaden Daniels in his second NFL game threw 23 of 29, very efficient. Yes, a lot of it was screen passes, but 226 yards. They used the screen passes to set up some of the plays down the field, to set up the play to Zach Ertz, to set up the play across the middle to Noah Brown. And you know what? Hey, it's successful. Whether it's a two-yard screen pass, right, or it's a deep pass downfield, as long as you're moving the chains, I'm happy with that. Jaden Daniels, an average of 7.8 yards a pass in the game against the Giants there. And that included him going 9 of 9 with basically nothing but throwing it sideways. All right, so as long as they're able to move the chains, the screen passes were actually successful against the Giants. I don't know how you can complain about that when it actually worked. And we moved the football. Washington, that guy's been a fan since the 60s. He's probably seen 10,000 punts. He saw zero last Sunday against the Giants. I don't know how people are grumpy on a Saturday morning. It's a victory Saturday because this team got a win last weekend. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with that free Odyssey app. Commanders play Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. Jaden Daniels, primetime television. Going to be a ton of fun, I've been saying all show long. I'm not believing in the preseason hype. I look at the records on the two teams. The Bengals are yet to win a game. this is a winnable game for your Washington Commanders, in my mind. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to tweet me your thoughts, if it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. That's at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Dave tweets me, AWOD, I'm making deliveries all day, but I got AWOD Radio on the radio. Love to hear that. Hail to the burgundy and gold. Let's go to line one here. We've got Rick in Daytona. What's up, Rick?
Hey, AWOD, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm just seeing a lot of impatience by the fans. I listen to 106.7 every day of the week. Love you guys on my deliveries as well. The deal is, man, Jaden's a rookie, right? And he's doing a lot of great things, and he's an exceptional talent. But you know it and I know it, he hasn't seen a lot of receivers. I don't know about a lot, but there's been instances where people have been open, and he hasn't seen them or whatever. He took off early. That's going to come in time. He's going to mature, and that's going to come in time. So everybody that's pouncing on Terry, not getting open, this and that, they need to relax.
Right.
I've worried about the defense.
Rick, also, Rick, let me just say this, right?
Yeah.
You're so right. Relax about Jaden, his development, and getting Terry involved. But like I was talking about earlier, passing touchdowns and passing yards are down league-wide, right? Every team's complaining about their offense.
Exactly. So, you know, I've been a Skins fan since I was 6 years old, 1972. It's a lifestyle, it's a family tradition. You know what? And they're going to be fine. You know, fans back in the day when Joe Gibbs took over, we were bitching and whining because we started 0-5. We got to be patient with everybody, and we just have to see progress. And if we can do that as fans and support our team, you know, we're going to go some places. I believe that.
Yeah, good call, Rick. Appreciate you chiming in. Love that you listen to 106.7 every day. Let's go to Dave in Chantilly. Dave, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
What's up, brother? I completely agree with that last caller. The caller before the break is the reason I called in, the one that was dogging on Jaden. The only two things I agreed with that guy on was that I still call him the Redskins and that Luvu is a beast.
Yeah.
with him on the defense, obviously, we know what our defense is right now. But to say that Jaden isn't a franchise quarterback, and it didn't sound like he was saying because he might get hurt. It sounded like he said he doesn't see potential in Jaden, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, you see him in the backfield. Even if you watch the way he's doing his handoff fakes and this and that, all these little things he's doing is so precise and good. And like the last caller said, he's a rookie. You got to give him time. He doesn't have all-star receivers. Terry is a high-rated guy, but we haven't seen much out of him ever. I mean, he's not really living up to the hype. And, you know, it's going to take time to, like, let him learn, okay, handoffs, shifts, screens. Like, I love the fact we did screens the last game. It worked. We moved the ball. I don't care if we throw 100 screens a game if it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Philly back in the day when Andy Reid was there, he did screens all the time on those running back circles, and it worked for them. So,
yeah, and it destroyed
us. We're moving
us.
The ball.
Right, and here's the thing, Dave, and I'll let you chime in again. If you want to claim that Jaden won't make it as a quarterback because he's fragile and he'll get hurt, that's fine, you can make that argument. But I don't know how you could see two games and say he's not a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. I think every team out there right now is looking at him like, oh, I wish we got him. I think the Browns are looking at him like, you know, Caleb's good, but I think Jaden was the number one.
Yeah, the Chicago Bears.
And I definitely do worry. I mean, obviously, like, when he went down this last game, like I, like everybody, I held my breath, said a prayer because I was scared. But I think that's the kind of thing he needs to do. He needs to go get that kind of hit and realize, okay, sometimes I do need to, you know, run out or slide down earlier. And the whole thing with the sliding, they were talking about a 106 earlier this week. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are doing that kind of head down and kind of take the shoulder to the ground and take the ground, because when you slide feet first, sometimes they'll come in and pop you up anyway.
Right.
Or they'll come down on your legs, or, you know, they can hit you differently. So I love Jaden. I have nothing but praise for him. You know, we're going to get some more time. He's going to develop more. We'll get some more players around him. But our offense is actually pretty decent, like, from what I've seen in the last 30 years almost. So.
Yeah, good call, Dave.
Thank you, brother.
The positivity. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. Elijah, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm super excited for what this offense can become. I think we have to explore the underneath routes, especially with Terry. Terry, he doesn't mind doing the dirty work, and I think early as they're trying to figure out what coverage shell they're being that's being deployed against him, when Jaden Daniels, when he's dropping back, he's a smart passer. He isn't going to put the ball in harm's way. So I think defensive coordinators are like, we just have to give him, just make him be able to read through traffic enough time that by the time he says, you know what, I don't like what I see, I want to run, guys are a lot closer to him. But I think if they say, okay, underneath, boom, is there, if it's not, you know, just kind of going through his reads, using that run game, once the run game's there, start pulling it so he can get their action. And I think if they start doing it like that, obviously I have no credibility, but if they start doing it in a way and building out, I believe that receivers should go through a tiers of catches. Get an easy catch first. It's not about,
right,
okay, you're my star receiver, I need you to go make a ridiculous catch. It's no, man. If you make me an easy catch first, and then it's really who's the first guy to make the easy catch, then he gets to the next catch. Then you start getting your receivers competing. All right, man, I'm going to get my easy catch in, boom, get my feet wet, and then let's get it moving. It's not really, all right, we got to just go blaze in, let's go get it, rely on the run game, and then really use those guys. They're really there. And then once we start beating up teams, then you can start going downfield. But I think we have Washington always figures out a way to, A, hold on to the football for a good amount of time and run. I don't care who's kind of like been in charge. The one thing we've been able to kind of like rest our hat on is like, man, we was able to hold it. Look at our time possession. Look how we able to run the ball. I think those are effective things to build on. And I'm sorry, I got your thing. Oh, yeah, I think those are effective things to build on and starting to be able to keep, you know, Joe Burrow, keep him off of the field. You know, you got that good running game. Then soon as that's so demoralizing when you're beating up a team and then they cheat up and then Terry is there or they say, oh, man, okay, we got to play back. And then Jaden Daniels, how many times did we see him when he had proper downfield blocking at LSU? Did he take a ball 40 yards that he tucked it in? He could tuck that ball and go 40 and 50. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another reason why Dotson was out of there. Your downfield blocking is vitally important for this team because plays can show themselves even if you don't recognize, okay, I'm blocking. That's why you got to do your job as a receiver. You can't, okay, I'm not getting the ball, so let me just block. Nah, dude, you really have to do your job, and you really have to get the action going how it has to go. So the seams present themselves safely.
Yeah.
This has to happen effectively and safely. We have to do it the correct way.
Good call, man. Great insight. Thanks, man. Good information. I'm gonna go off of two things he said here. Logan Paulson says all the time the NFL game doesn't start until you make your first catch or you get your first hit. That's huge to get Terry McLaurin involved early. They did that with the screen. Just really wasn't able to connect with him downfield. But Jaden Daniels, we're talking about how, oh, he's missing Terry or he's missing guys. But I absolutely believe that from week one in the Bucs to week two against the Giants, he went through his progressions and his reads a lot smoother and was able to connect. And look, the results are there. He threw for over 200 yards in the game against the Giants. 23-29 was really effective. I get it. You can point to the fact that it was a lot of screen passes, but he was connecting and he got the yardage. He got the completion percentage. You know, you look back to week one, well, just 184 yards. You're talking about, you know, a big 40-yard chunk play there from week one to week two. That's the kind of development I want to see. Let's go out to the phone lines once again. We got Vic in Accokeek. What's going on, Vic?
Adam, what's good, baby?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. So, what I want to see be married more cohesively is Cliff opening up the formations, stretching the formations a bit, and diversifying our weapons in the formations a bit more as well. The problem with Jaden being able to show more of his arm talent, show more of the intermediate passing game along with the screen game, is the screens are only to one area of the field. They're to the perimeter of the field. We're blocking down with the X, crashing down on the outside backer or the safety, and then we're bubbling the screen with the slot guy. They might switch it up from time to time, but it's happening near the boundary. We are not using our weapons, particularly Terry McLaurin, at the Y, at the J, out of the backfield, middle screen, jet motion screen. There are more than one ways to use him. Fake reverse screen, things of that nature. We're not putting him in different parts of the formation, much like the Patriots did for years with Gronk. Mm-hmm.
Interesting that Cliff Kingsbury kind of keeps Terry on the left, and then Dan Quinn said, yeah, to get him more involved, we're going to have to move him around. So certainly the coaching staff is having this conversation.
Yeah, and see, that's the part that I like when I hear that they're talking about it, because they get paid to do this all day. This is all you're talking about, you're thinking about, you're evaluating. So if you're talking about it, then I'm assuming – you're going to apply it on the field. What I think that would do, it would put Terry in more situations to not only be explosive to score touchdowns, it would open up our offense, because now defenses have to defend us more. They don't have to defend us or with the plethora of responsibilities based on what we're running and what we're giving them to, giving them to look at. They're seeing the same things at this point. What is good is that we've shown we can run the football. We've shown when we need to line up and push men around, we can do that. That's more demoralizing than a man running by you because he's faster than you. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see us build off that. I'm always looking for cavities. And when I look at Jaden Daniels, as one of the callers said previously, his fakes are very precise, very technically sound. His eyes down the field are very technically sound. It's not a lot of wasted motion when he's throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. He's going through his progressions. The ball is getting there on a line. It's not – I think he threw one lofty ball to
Zach Ertz, right?
Won the battle for it. Yeah, Zach Ertz. But I haven't seen too many of those. What I also like, I would like for him to slide more. But when he runs, he's putting one foot in the ground and he's going. He's running in the closest thing you can run to a straight line to get yards down the field. So there is a lot of promises, a lot of good things to build off, but I'll leave with this. The Bengals are still a good football team. I don't care that they're 0-2. They are still a good football team. If we can beat the Bengals, and the key word is if and how we beat the Bengals, it will show me if we are a playoff team. If we cannot beat the Bengals, then I'm not sold that we will win over 7 games this year.
Yeah.
I will take the under.
All right, Vic, we got to take a quick commercial break, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Yep. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you want to check out the Terps, if you want to check out the Maryland Terrapins today, you're going to tune into the Team 980 at 11 a.m. as the Terps host Villanova after they got a big win on the road against UVA last week. It's time to touch on all the college football programs here locally in the DMV with University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
College football, baby!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So I'll start with the Hokies. I know a ton of Virginia Tech alum live in D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. You hear Bill Roth on the Junkies every week, the play-by-play voice of the Hokies. They're at home, Lane Stadium. Sold out in Blacksburg as 2-0 Rutgers comes to face off against the Hokies. All week long, Coach Pry at Virginia Tech has talked about how this game is going to be won or lost at the line of scrimmage. Rutgers comes in with a bunch of big men on the defensive line. They've got a really good offensive line as well. The Hokies, they want to establish the ground and pound with Bashal Tootin and Kyron Drones. And Kyron Drones, although he finally was able to run people over last week against ODU, right? He had only averaged 2 yards a carry in the first two games. Then he runs over ODU for an unbelievable game here. That was the best performance he's had of the season. But I think the Rutgers plan is going to be to stop Kyron Drones from running, to stop Bashal Tootin from taking off. And so Drones had just 13 yards against Marshall, 19 against Vanderbilt, 117 and a touchdown against ODU. So they're going to try to establish the ground game. But I think he's got to use his wide receivers, Jalen Lane and Ollie Jennings, if the Hokies are going to have a chance to win. Defensively, they need Aeneas Peebles and Antoine Powell-Ryland to get after the quarterback and especially force Rutgers to throw. All right, so they've got one of the best running backs this year in Manungai, who's had 373 yards in just two games already and four touchdowns. So it's going to be a battle of two teams that want to run the football. They want to ground and pound. Whoever can win the line of scrimmage will get the win. It's going to be a tough game for Virginia Tech. Preseason, I picked them to lose this game. I thought they'd be 3-1 heading into the road test at Miami. But after losing to Vanderbilt here, to stick with my 3-1 prediction, I got to pick the Hokies to get the win. UVA on the road against Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina's been a really good program the last few years. UVA has not. They have not gotten going in year three now with new coach Tony Elliott. But they found a quarterback in Anthony Calandria. Last year he played and he was boom or bust. A bunch of throws downfield, but also a lot of turnovers. Well, the turnover bug returned last week against Maryland, and he coughed it up twice. He's got five touchdowns to four interceptions, but in three games, he's thrown for 900 yards. So you can see the talented kid, Calandria, can release the ball downfield. I want to see him take off and run more. Instead of trying to fit it into some tight windows, I want him to take off and run and avoid the turnovers. Malachi Fields has been spectacular at wide receiver. If UVA wants to get into a bowl game this year, they've got to win on the road against Coastal Carolina. Last year, the best team in the state of Virginia was the James Madison Dukes. Well, Kurt Cignetti left JMU and went to Indiana. In comes Bob Chesney from Holy Cross. And although they've kind of had to rework this roster, the Dukes are 2-0 on the season with Alonzo Barnett at quarterback, but he hasn't been great. And they barely won this season against Gardner Webb at home. Fan base was so pissed they were losing at halftime. They came back to win 13-6. They've got their toughest test of the season on the road at North Carolina. Look, if the Dukes win this game, they're going to get national headlines once again. And people are going to talk about them as possibly the Sun Belt champions. I just don't think they can win this game. UNC's running back, Omarion Hampton, is a stud, already 416 yards and three touchdowns on the season. Touching on a couple other big games here in the ACC, Florida State's been awful. Mike Norvell and his program is 0-3. They're at home facing off against the newcomer in the ACC, the Cal Bears. Well, Cal's 3-0 to start this game. This will be this season. That'll be a really interesting test. And then we got to talk about the Terps here. We mentioned it, the big win over UVA. They're now 2-1 on the season. Unfortunate loss at home to Michigan State, but they're at home against Villanova. They're going to win easily here in this one. I feel like Coach Loxley is really developing a program there, and I can't wait for them to face off against some of the tough teams in the Big Ten this year later on. They've got a game against USC. They're going at home. That'll be awesome. They're going to visit number 9 Oregon. So a lot of college football action going on later today and the rest of the season. I'm Adam Epstein. Keep listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.